Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today we worship and celebrate a God who gives. Paul's letter to the Philippians. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I'm sure you've noticed that the prices of everything just keep going up. From groceries to gas, you can count on it, right? Prices always seem to go up. That's certainly true when it comes to the cost of education. And I should know. I have a son who is a sophomore in college. I got one daughter already through, and there's another one on the way. It's not getting any cheaper. And then there's this thing about technology, right? You know, the old phones break or they don't work anymore because their batteries don't hold power. And so you got to go buy a new phone. And guess what? They don't give away free phones like they used to. You got to buy them now, and they're not cheap. And then there's this whole taxes thing. I think that's tomorrow, right? April 15th. I don't think of April 15th as tax day. I think of it as my anniversary day, so it's not a bad day. It's actually a good day. But this year, ouch, right? I think because we're a blue state, it kind of got stuck to us, didn't it? Maybe those people in the White House said, we're gonna stick it to anybody who lives in the great state of Illinois. Well, recently I came across a website that will take you back to the year you were born and tell you the prices of things that the year you were born. So 54 years ago, back to 1965, I went, and the average cost of a car was $2,750. Wouldn't it be great? Think of how many cars I could have. I already have enough, but I could have more. Wow. The cost of gas, 31 cents a gallon. Yeah, that, you could fill up pretty easily. Maybe some of you remember 1965. Maybe you could tell me the cost of a gallon of milk or a dozen eggs. Anybody remember?
About 79 cents.
Oh, 53 cents, Bertie. But maybe here in Illinois it was 73. And my favorite, as I look back through the list, I guess bacon was not as popular back then, but you could get a pound of bacon for 81 cents. And I'm sure there may be a few of you who even remember before 1965, that this thing only went back to 1930. I think Frieda Tucknut would remember the prices a lot lower. But the good news is that even though prices rise, Hopefully, income as it has increased as well. Maybe not as fast or maybe not as much as we would like, but I'm certainly glad that I am not getting paid what I did for my first real job. 13 years old, I worked for Jake's Seed Company detasseling corn, and I got paid $2.65 an hour. And I worked for a month that summer, and I made $400, and I thought I was the richest person in the world, right? But here's the deal. I didn't get to keep it all. I had good parents who decided it was time that I would be taught some biblical principles of giving. I don't know at 13 how happy I was to hear about these biblical principles of giving, but it has stuck with me through the years and has been a real blessing as I learned that really all that I have is a gift from God. As I learned that giving is really a matter of the heart. It's not a have-to kind of thing, but it's a want-to kind of thing. As I learned that giving back to God really is a statement of a faith. As I share my gratitude to God for all that I have been given, and as I put my trust in Him, saying, Lord, as you provided in the past, I trust that you will provide in the days to come. And boy, oh boy, do we have a God who provides for us all that we have, all that we need, and so much more. As He offers us forgiveness, as He gives to us a place in the family, as He offers to us a new way of life and a new way of living. But you see, all that we have received, all that we have been given, all of that comes with a price. There's a cost. And on this Passion Weekend, we see again the price that Jesus was willing to pay as He gave it all away for you and for me. As He gave away His love, as He gave away His life, His very self, so that we could have it all. Even when we reject Him. Even when we are the ones who turn from Him, even as we seek to go our own way and fail to be the people that we actually want to be. And as a result, we lack joy. We long for peace. We live for all the wrong things as we tend to try to grab for more, as we struggle to be people who give, as we oftentimes fail to see the price that Jesus paid, so that you and I can be people with open hands, restored and refreshed and ready to live differently as people who now seek to live generously. As Jesus Himself said, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like the wise man who built his house on the rock. The rains came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. Jesus is saying, if you want your house to stand up, practice what I'm preaching. Do what my word says. If you want real change in your life, don't just hear my words. Live them out. And that's why in this season of Lent, we've been looking at Jesus' words, the ones that are written in those red letters in your Bible. And we've been learning how we can be people who are actually putting those words into practice as we take this red letter challenge. Living out Jesus' words in our day-to-day life. Now, nobody said it was going to be easy. But what we come to discover, it's doable to live out these words of Jesus when we're in relationship with Him. As He changes, as He empowers, as He enables us to do so much more than we could have ever asked or imagined. Because you see, this is the calling, this is the mission that has been given to us as God's people. This is our purpose, not to just hear these words, but to actually put them into practice. To love as we have been loved, as we are people of generosity. Because you see, we're the ones who've discovered and experienced that love, God's love, can change us. Change who we are and actually change what we do. so that we can be people who are not only hearing God's word, but actually living them out. As we live differently, as we reflect the very heart of God and share it with the people that God brings into our areas or spheres of influence. Those people we hang out with, our neighbors, our family. We can start living this way and have an impact on them so that they can begin to experience this God of giving and become followers of Jesus too. And this happens. It happens as we put God's word into practice and are transformed by his truth. That being with Jesus changes us so that we can be people who are actually doing what God asks us to do. That we are people who forgive. That we are people who serve. That we are people who give. And as we will talk about next Sunday, as we are people who go with the good news. Now, experts tell us you can learn a lot about a person's mood or intentions by their facial expressions, non-verbal cues. You know, things like eye rolling. No, nobody ever gets the eye roll, right? Yeah. Or the grimace or the nose wrinkle. You know, we can tell what a person is actually thinking by their facial expressions, but it doesn't stop there. Actually, we can tell a lot about a person's mood or intentions by their body posture, the way they carry themselves. You know, if somebody's got those slumped shoulders, you know something's going on. If somebody's walking around like this, you also know they got something. They've got something going on, right? From stance, we can make assumptions about their attitude and their actions. There can be no doubt that we can learn a thing or two about Jesus as we look to him as he makes his way toward Jerusalem. As we look into his eyes, as we focus on his face, as we explore his demeanor, Jesus has taken on Roman numeral one. He's taken on a posture of purpose. A posture of purpose. He is a man on a mission, as the scriptures reveal. After 3 years of living life on mission, teaching and preaching and healing, Jesus now sets his face toward Jerusalem. I love the way the Bible describes it. He sets his face. Boom. He is on a mission. He sets his face toward the crowds who cheer his arrival and who later curse his very life. He sets his face to the cross where he will give it all away as he is emptied of his pride and his personhood and his very life. As he is challenged to set aside the glory for the pain, to obey his Father's will, to give it all away as he is filled with love and filled with compassion, filled with life, even in death. For Jesus knows his purpose as he comes, point number one, as he comes in humility. Riding, the scripture says, on the back of a donkey, accepting the cheers of children, ready to stand before those who desire to kill him. Jesus reveals his true identity as he willingly opens his hands. And in doing so, revealing to us the very heart of our God, who would stop at nothing to make us his own, who would give it all away that we could have it all, who would pay the price so that we can now live as people of generosity. For Jesus knows his purpose as he comes, point number two, as he comes in power. Not as the world sees power, mind you. As he is mocked, as he is beaten, as he is crucified. But Jesus comes in the power of love. The power of love. that is willing to give his life for you and me. Taking our sin, dying our death, giving to us forgiveness and hope and life. A life that we can live as we are now people who are ready to give it all away. Well, I have to tell you, they keep coming. I received another one again this week in the mail. It's a recall letter for my car. And this is probably the fifth or sixth recall for my car. It's a 2011 Hyundai Sonata. Maybe you don't want to get that car. But it's a warning that something is wrong. It's a reminder that I need to get something fixed. And there's no doubt that you and I, we often need reminders about our posture when it comes to being people who are ready to give. Because, let's face it, we can at times become stingy. When we doubt the fact that God is a God who provides, when we think that what we have is ours, when we make money and our stuff an idol that we worship. I mean, it's interesting. Jesus spends a whole lot of time in these red letters talking about money because Jesus understands, I believe, how dangerous it is for us to make money and stuff our gods, because they're going to fail you every single time. And so we need reminders when it comes to this life of generosity, this life of giving. And this past week, I was given a reminder of the power of giving. We were away last week at a PLI, Pastoral Leadership Institute Immersion. And one of the things that we did during that week was we prayed for one another. And I was praying for a fellow pastor, and I simply just asked him, what he needed prayer for. And he's a young man. He's probably in his late 30s, maybe early 40s. And he just said, "Would you pray for me? I've got some health issue concerns coming up." And I didn't really ask for any more details or anything more about it, and just prayed for him. But later that day, one of his friends came up to me and said, we got to pray for Matt. And I said, "Well, yeah, I did. Well, what's going on with him?" And he said, "Well, you know what? Next week, it's going to be, I think, on the 17th, he is going to give part of his liver away." You see, there's a woman in their preschool at their church who needs a liver, or she will die. And so he is a match for her, and he was willing and is willing to give his liver for her. You see, there's power. There's power in giving as we learn to take Roman numeral 2, a posture of potential. As we trust that God can use the little things we have for far greater good. As we are people with open hands, as our Heavenly Father has opened his hands to us, blessing us so that we can be a blessing to others. As we are people who give of ourselves, of our time, our talents, and our treasures. And this position, this posture of potential will only happen as we, point number one, as we live like Jesus did, as we humble ourselves, as we take the attitude of Christ, as we act like Christ. Giving it all away, and in doing so, getting so much more in return. And that's what happens, you see. That's what happens when we humble ourselves. Sure, we're going to be challenged, and it may take a whole lot out of us. But we have a God who fills us up so that we can be people who are actually giving hope and giving meaning and giving life to people who are empty and who are in need. as we are willing, point number two, to give it all away. As we are people who desire to be generous, even when it isn't easy, even when it really doesn't make sense, even when we can't do it on our own. But here's the thing. When we learn to trust in God's power of generosity to change us, we can indeed be people who are putting the red letter words of Jesus into practice. That it is truly more blessed to give than to receive. On a day like today, it is apparent that ours is a God who gives. As Jesus willingly opens his hands and pays the ultimate price for the world, giving his life that we would have life and share it with others, as we are people who are truly, truly following Jesus together. Amen. Now may God's peace, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. At this time, why don't we stand and we will confess our faith as we speak together the words of the Apostles' Creed.